This month, we're talking about the great exchange. Exchanging, we were singing this morning, even our weakness for his strength. It's part of the great exchange. I am weak. I understand my weakness, you know. I have told lies, you know. I have not been the greatest father for my kids. I've been weak in many areas. I've lost it just this morning. I mean, you know, it's just that kind of humanity. But he is strong. He is strong. And it's a journey, really, it's a journey towards authenticity. I want to be authentic to my calling as a minister. I really do. And I think everybody who is in a profession, they want to be authentic in whatever they called to do. The Nowickies, I know they want to give authentic ingredients to what they make. They make essential oils and soaps and all these wonderful products, and they want it authentic. They go to an extreme to make an authentic product that they could put on that bottle. This is the real stuff, and they really work hard at it. Anybody else who's in a profession, I know they want to do it to the best of their ability and be authentic in doing that. But sometimes, you know, we fall short, don't we? You know, we fall short. Sometimes, you know, I don't feel like listening to your problems. Oh, my goodness, I got on myself, you know. But when I don't, Rhonda does. Or Sandy does. And that's about being within an authentic community. We really support one another. It's authenticity and awareness. That's what we're journeying towards. Authenticity and awareness. And this story that we're looking at shows how involved Jesus wants to be in this journey. And it's the story of the two men on the road to Emmaus. And I've done this before. It's a natural progression from Easter. It moves from Easter. It's on the third day. Hallelujah. We're still celebrating the resurrection, aren't we? Oh, praise God. We celebrate the resurrection every Sunday here. Every Sunday we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So it's about these two men. And, you know, a journeys can be refining. And they can be life-changing, your journey. I talk about my life-changing journey back in 1979. It was really, I mean, I can see God in every part of it, and people in every part of it who came alongside me in my journey to help me be aware, really, of where I was, what I was doing. And it was trying for them. It was difficult for them because I was acting out in ways that were just, you know, dangerous to myself and other people and disregarding, just recklessness. And God put people in my journey to help me aware and want to be authentic, an authentic human being. And that is very refining. Now in Luke, it's chapter 24, verse 13, it says, they say, "Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day." The same day as the resurrection. I mean, the same day. And it says, "To a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem," or in about a two-hour walk. About a two-hour walk, if you want to read the commentaries. And, you know, the interesting thing about the two men. I think later on it says one of the men was Cleopas, and if you do some research, no one can decide who the rest are. You know, I mean, some say it might be Cleopas's wife. Some say it might be his son. Some say it might be his friend. But you know what I think it is? It's everybody. It's every man. See, we can read this, and just because they can't identify who it is, to me, opens it up to be everybody. See, this is everybody's journey. Man, woman, and child. No one is excluded. Everyone is included. And we're on this journey together. We're on this journey. And as they go, as they're talking, as they talk together, as we do, walking and talking and what we do so well, it says they talked of all these things that happened. And it's kind of like, what happened? What the heck happened? You know? I mean, what happened? Did you hear that Peter cut off the ear of the slave? Did you hear that? Oh, no, not really? Now, wait a minute. It gets better. Then Peter picks up the guy's ear. Did you hear? Can you believe this? Can you believe this? I mean, it's like, can me walk? Can you believe this? And he heals him. What? No. Now, obviously, they're kind of outsiders. They're not disciples because weren't at the Last Supper. We'll find that out later, too. You know, they're kind of like, you know, not just on the edge of things, you know, like some people feel. They feel like outsiders. They do that their whole life. They never feel in with the in crowd, you know, whatever that is. You know, in with the in crowd. They always just feel a little outsiders, and they carry a very strange spirit with them. You know, it's like a spirit of rejection. And I think these guys carried that spirit, you know. They were walking in the wrong direction, number one. How many can relate? You know? Woo! Man, how long did I walk in the wrong direction? Oh my goodness, the journey, the distance, as far as I could get from God as possible, as far as I could go. I just ran, was running from God. So here they are discussing what's going on. How about that Judas? I knew that dog. Oh my gosh. Yeah, I knew he was a dog. I could tell from the beginning that he was no good at all. All he was interested in was money. That was it. Good riddance to him. He did what he should have done. I would have done it for him. Woo! We all got our opinions, don't we? Oh, look at how it parallels these times. And you know what? Their expectation was disappointed. They had all this expectation on how this thing was supposed to turn out. Huh? This is how it was supposed to be. I mean, what's with this Jesus? I thought he was going to come and, you know, take us all. We were going to, you know, defeat the Romans, and we were going to be in power. We were going to be in positions of power. And maybe I was going to be his right-hand man, and he'd give me a job, you know? I'd be on staff finally. You know, I get invited to all the parties. I miss that, you know, the Last Supper. How could they leave me off that list? I'm telling you, this is how they felt. They're human beings, aren't they? They felt rejected. They felt like they didn't fit somehow. And what? How can you tell? Because I walk in the wrong direction. I'm done. I'm through. I'm through with this. You're dead to me. Woo, little did they know. Oh, my goodness. I'm telling you. It's amazing. What happened? What happened? Oh, you know, on Good Friday, many of you were here, I talked about being, I'll get the word. I put it down. I talked about being, remember, I'm old, so hang with me here for a minute, about being not hoodwinked, but disappointed. What word did I use? I thought I wrote it down. But anyway, double-crossed, that's why. Double-crossed. I knew it would come to me. Just be patient. And if you see me mess up, just pray in tongues for a while, okay? But double-crossed. I mentioned that some of you felt double-crossed on Friday night, on Good Friday night. You were disappointed by those in authority. You were disappointed by a structure, a system. You know, whatever it is, we all live in systems and structures called banking or insurance or, you know, religious structures. And you'd been disappointed. You felt like you had been double-crossed. I want you to think of that. God brought it up to me again as I was preparing this message. You were double-crossed by a spouse, a friend. You feel like you've been double-crossed. And that's the spirit, I think, that's in this country right now. A spirit, a huge spirit of rejection. And people are turning in the wrong direction. The first thing, I'm telling you, the mistake you make is to leave the group. I see it happening all over. I'm done with Christianity. I mean, you could find more sites on Facebook now that says deconstruction. Done with Christianity. Life after Christianity. I'm telling you, it's out there. I've never seen it before in my whole life like this. You know, Jesus never existed. There's no evidence that, you know, although he had been seen by 500 afterwards, you know, Jesus never existed. Historically, you cannot prove it. I'm done. You know, I've been hoodwinked. I've been double-crossed. Well, Jesus wants to heal that in us. He wants to heal that spirit of rejection. No matter how much you can talk to some people, they will never get over that spirit of rejection. And it is a spirit that they carry with them. And you can love them and love them and love them. And because they've been double-crossed and rejected, the next time you don't say hi to them or remember their name or invite them to the party, they're done. They're done. And I think that's exactly the way these guys were feeling. I think that's the way many feel in this country today. I've been double-crossed by the system. Things didn't turn out how I expected. I expected so much more. Well, lower your expectation. Oh, my wife and I say that all the time. Lower your expectation for one another and raise your expectation for God. Because he's the only one that can bring this together. He's the only one that can heal this in you. No one else can. So it was while they were conversing and reasoning together that Jesus himself, ooh, that gives me a chill. I love that. Jesus himself drew near. Oh, write that down. Drew near. He wants to be near us. He wants to be involved in this journey of authenticity and love. He wants to be with us. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit, another comforter, one called alongside to help you in all your things. And we don't even ask him. I mean, even me, I go through stuff and do stuff and keep doing it. Why didn't I ask the Holy Spirit to help me? I mean, all kinds of stuff. Maintenance stuff. Remodeling stuff. Because I'm fumbling around making all these mistakes and decisions, you know, and I never stopped. And when it's not going right, that's when you stop and go, okay, all right, Lord, you're never present help in time of need. I need you. I'm blowing it here. I've never done this before. But we move on. See, we don't just, our awareness, they were not even aware it was Jesus. We're not even aware that Jesus never leaves us nor forsakes us. He's right there. He's right there with us. We're so busy. We're so busy walking away. I'm done. Oh, that we're not aware of his presence. aware of his presence, and you need that time. That's why I sit every morning with him. Every morning. You know, have that awareness. Of course, I'm going through something, you know? Need I remind you? Does anybody know what I'm going through? Anybody not know? Okay. I guess I told everybody, you know? Oh, my goodness. So, we're all going through stuff. And I know some of the stuff you're going through. I know what Doug's going through, you know? And I'm there to help him go through it. And he's here to help me. That's why I said, that's what I love, a community, okay, that my story becomes your story. And when it becomes your story, you support me in that story. That's why you don't leave the group. And I know there's some groups you need to leave, okay? Or situations, you know, abusive situations or whatever. But I'm telling you what, I trust this group. They have been trustworthy to me for 10 years or more, okay? And I've been through church problems. I was a pastor, okay? I've been through church problems. And I know stuff happens. But that's what grace is for. We need to extend grace. Don't walk away. There's so many people walking away. So while they were conversing, Jesus draws himself near to them and went with them. He's with them. I mean, these aren't even disciples. These are just you and me, you know what I mean? And he decides, I'm going with it. I'm taking the time out of his busy schedule. He had 500 more people to see. And, you know, he had to go to the Father. I mean, he had all kinds of great stuff to do. I'm going to join myself to these two insignificant people. Not even disciples. Oh, my goodness. That thrills me. That just thrills me. How wonderful that is. It says, but their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. He did not know them. They did not know him. They were not aware of him. And sometimes we're like that. The situation is so overwhelming that we don't see Jesus in it. We just can't see Jesus in it. Especially when it's painful and it's hurtful or it's sickness and we feel we're supposed to be healed and in our time and when we need it, when we want it. And, you know, financially, oh my gosh, where's God in all this? Where's God in all this? You know, he's right there with you. He's right there with you. His timing is perfect. We just have to trust him. And that's the hardest thing. It just never gets easier. I think it was last week I was 76 years old. How do I know? They had a party for me. And it's just as hard to trust him now as it was 40 years ago. Just as hard to trust him. Oh, my goodness. It's difficult. And he said to them, I love how he baits them. You know, Jesus is, I mean, he's still operating in his humanity here, I'll tell you. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk in the wrong direction and are sad? No, he didn't even say that. He says, as you walk and are sad. He could tell. They were upset. They were disillusioned. They were depressed. They were angry. They had all the emotions that we have, that we're carrying with us however we thought things should turn out, and they didn't turn out that way, and we're mad, and we're sad, and we're upset, and we're letting, thank God for Facebook, we can let everybody know how mad we are and how upset we are, you know what I mean? Oh, my goodness, what did we ever do without it? We had to internalize it, I guess. I don't know. Then one of those named Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? What's with you? You know? The Bible puts it so nice, you know? I wonder how it really was worded, because it's in King James. King James, you know? King James mind. They're so proper. And it says, who are you? What are you that you don't, that you're not knowing these things which happened in these days? And he said to them, what things? Oh, Jesus, come on. You know, Jesus is going to play dumb. Okay. I think this is the only time in the whole Bible that Jesus plays dumb. Okay. He did a good job. He really fooled them. You know, he got out of them what he wanted out of them. So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people. So they have some recollection of what Jesus did. Of what, you know, although they're disappointed, I mean, it's like that lingering hope that we have. I don't know, I have a lingering hope, you know, that yes, God can do this. God can make this right. God can heal our land. God can put our hearts right. God can join us together. I mean, what kind of leader would I be if I didn't have that hope? You know, I have that hope. I have that hope that there's still something good in humanity. And how the chief priest and the rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. You know, you wonder if they were the guys that were standing around the cross. You know, maybe they were, you know, standing around the cross and just, I'm sure they were back from the crowd, you know what I mean? Not to be identified too closely with this disappointment, this weak figure. And standing around the cross, just wondering, what happened? What happened? This is so embarrassing. This is so awful. I thought it was going to turn out a whole different way. Are you thinking about something right now in your life? Yes, I can feel it. I can feel over here somebody's really thinking about something in their life that was supposed to happen and didn't happen the way they thought it should happen, and the blood of Jesus will cleanse it from all. Do you know that? The power of the blood, we sang it this morning. It can wipe away all that disappointment. The power of the blood, the power of the resurrection can wipe away all that brokenness and hurt. Don't leave the crowd. Don't leave the group. Don't leave the group that's believing in faith. Go to a place where they're preaching faith every week. Yes, God is alive. Jesus is on the throne. The Holy Spirit is here to help you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. See, I have this mantle. I have this mantle right here. I have this mantle. And some people need a sign, so I made it. I made this sign to let you know that he loves you. Every week that he loves you. No matter what you did all week. You know, how you blew it. How you failed. How it didn't turn out. Will you help me carry this mantle? Will you help me? I'm not confused about what I'm supposed to do, who I'm supposed to be, what I'm supposed to preach. It's the love of God. The love of God. Oh, why confuse it with all kinds of other? I'm not here to indoctrinate you. I'm here to inspire you to love those around you, to fill the Christian mandate that he gave on Monday, Thursday, to love your neighbor as yourself. Oh, my goodness. It can be so difficult. It can get so heavy. I need young guys to help me carry this mantle. I need young guys to pick up this mantle and run with it and walk in the right direction with it. Oh my goodness, some are walking in the wrong direction, walking away. And I'm telling you, you don't hear this every week at churches. You don't. You don't hear it. A lot of times you hear, you're no good, you're no good, you're no good. Who needs to hear that? Oh my goodness. He loves you, he loves you, he loves you. It says, but we were hoping. We were hoping. They lost hope. I don't want you to lose hope this morning. You found your way here. Bless you, people, for finding your way here and coming back. Oh, my goodness, how wonderful is that? I salute you. You're still hungry. You're still seeking. You're still looking for hope. You're still on the journey. And you know that God is with you. And you need to be reminded every week, God is with you. God is with you. God is for you. God is on your side. Oh, my goodness. And if I don't do it, Ken will do it. He's my partner in this journey. We can walk hand in hand and talk about the same things, the love of God, the healing power of Jesus. Oh my goodness, that's the kind of people you need walking with you in this hour. That's what you need, not negativity, not anger, not frustration, not criticism, but love, love, love. Love, love, love. Encouragement. Oh, Dave, you got your head in the clouds. Thank goodness. Thank goodness. I'm so used to it. I tell you, my mother used to say that to me all the time. Dave, you got your head in the clouds. I never knew it was where it was supposed to be because I was always told it was not supposed to be there. Oh, my goodness, it's wonderful. It says, but we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. See, they had a concept. They had their own ideas, their own way of doing things. This is how we're going to do it. This is how he's going to do it, and better agree with the way we're doing it, or he's a phony. And it said right there, he says, indeed, besides all this today, this is the third day since things happened. Oh, on the third day. Hallelujah. Woo, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. So much happens on the third day. Just give it some time. Give it some time. Give it 30 days. You know, give it 33 days. give it more time. They need to give it more time. Yes, and a certain woman of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. And it says, when they did not find his body, and they came saying that they had seen a vision of angels and that said, he was alive. He was alive. Oh, I love this. This is incredible. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said. But him they did not see. They did not see him. Then he said to them, O foolish ones. These are red letters right there. I don't know. They're not red letters up there. But Jesus said, O foolish ones. Sometimes I feel so foolish for not believing everything Jesus told us he's going to do. Because in the long run, I see him do it. In the long run, after I've fussed and fighted, you ever fight with your wife over nothing? I hate when that happens, you know? Oh, my goodness. Oh, foolish. You feel like such a fool. Oh, foolish ones and slow of heart. Oh, my gosh. Sometimes we're so slow to get it. You know, we're so slow to get it. Like I said, 40 years. I've read this story maybe every, you know, Sunday after Easter or preached on it, talked about it. And it always has more to share. Always have more to give. Always has more to show. The word is alive. He is alive. We are alive to hear it. Whew. But we can be so slow sometimes. Slow to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Now, I'm not going to go into reading all that the prophets have spoken, okay? Because you know, a virgin shall bring forth a child. It says it in Isaiah. And his name will be called Emmanuel. God with us. God's with us. God's for us. He said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. Oh my goodness, he is for us. He says, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and entered into his glory? See, they tried to hinder that. Through violence of the sword, Peter tried to hinder that. There's all this hindrance to doing what God said he would do happen. And Jesus knew it. He had said, you know, I let this cup pass away, but not my will. Let your will be done. He surrendered to the will of God. Will you surrender to the will of God this morning, or will you just keep doing it your own way? Oh, my goodness. Woo. See, we need to surrender and trust him. Trust him. Just exchange our fear for trust. our frustration for trust, our anger for trust. Oh, we hang on to it like it's so valuable. I'm holding on to this anger. I'm holding on to this frustration. It's mine. I'm holding on to this rejection. Nobody likes me. You know? Oh, we can't. We got to let it go. We got to let it go. Give it to Jesus. We got to let it go. It says, and at the beginning of Moses and the prophets, he expounded. Phew, he knew who he was. He expounded to them all the scriptures and the things concerning himself. You can read it for yourself. You can read them all. It's wonderful. It increases your faith and your love, especially in a climate where they're saying Jesus didn't even exist. Religion is dead. Christianity is not relevant. You're going to get bombarded by that. And I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided. Now, this is where Sandy would sing it. I have decided. Boy, aren't you glad I'm not going to. Okay, so anyway. Oh, my goodness. But I had to decide and decide and decide. And all, you know, last week was the anniversary of my diagnosis with lung cancer, okay? Last week was 4 years. 4 years. The first Sunday, Easter Sunday, I came back. My daughter had to drive me here. She put me over there, and I fell asleep in the service. Woo! But I had to decide and decide and decide after every CAT scan, after every diagnosis, after all of it. I had to decide to follow Jesus, to believe Jesus. I had to decide, make a decision. And it's been what's kept me going. And you guys helped me make the decision. You've been on that journey with me. You've been consistent and you've been faithful and you've been loving and supportive and true. Oh, I thank you. Did I ever thank you for that? Thank you, thank you, thank you. All of you, cards, letters, finances, everything. Oh, I'm not walking away from this community. They're going to have to carry me out, folks. Oh, I danced so hard last week, I thought I was going to die. You know, you ever try to dance with a mask on? Oh, my gosh. So I said to Megan, I said, if I drop dead right here, okay, don't touch me. You know, oh, my gosh, it hurt so bad. I had to walk outside and take off the mask, you know. Whew, but I've decided. I'm decided to follow Jesus. Week after week, I've made that decision to follow Jesus. Oh, my goodness. It says, let's go back up here. And then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated he would go no farther. Wow, sometimes you get that impression by people that he will not go any farther with you. I say that's a lie. Is all he needs is a little prayer, a little praise, a little encouragement. Oh, will you go farther with me, Lord? Just go a little farther with me, a little farther. But they constrained him. Please, 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 God, don't leave me. You said you'd never. That's prayer, folks. They're praying right there. They're praying. They're praying to Jesus in person. Oh, my gosh, this is incredible. You know? Oh, Lord, Lord, don't leave me. Don't forsake me. Stand by me. You said you would. Here's your promises. All your promises are yes and amen. Oh, forget not the Lord and all his benefits. Oh, he's gonna forgive all your iniquities and heal all your diseases. That's what I'm standing on. All the time. Every morning. Every night. And he constrained him. Abide with us. Abide with us. He wants to hear that from you guys. He wants to hear it in worship. Abide with us, Lord. We're here with you. We're here. We love you. We trust you. He loves hearing that. He loves hearing it from us. For it is towards evening, and the day is far spent. Some are at that point in the journey. The day is far spent. You've had it. You can hardly do any more. I'm so worn out. I'm so tired. Oh, my goodness. Sometimes I'm so tired. I don't know sometimes I'm sick or it's because I'm 76. You know, I don't know. Sometimes I'm just so darn tired. How many can relate? Oh, my goodness. There, see? Sometimes you're just so darn tired. Oh, that's a good time to be with Jesus. Just rest with him. Draw near to him. Change your weakness for his strength. Oh, it's all so wonderful. Abide with us for his toward. And he went in and he stayed with them. Oh, what a great story. Intimacy with the Lord. Religion does not give you intimacy with the Lord. Relationship gives you intimacy with the Lord. Relationship. You know, and I talk again of my testimony of, you know, July 29, 1979, you know, at 7:30 in the evening when I gave my life to the Lord. I don't know, if you never have done that, I don't want you to think you haven't had an experience with God. Because I know people have had an encounter with God and he never told them to be born again. Now, Sandy talked about, yes, it's a biblical principle that we believe that there is an encounter that changes you, that brings you out of death into life, into everlasting life. He's on the right path. Woo! And I love those shoes. You can find them. We didn't have those shoes when we had the kids. Where was I? So here we are. You know, we're in having intimacy with the Lord. You can have intimacy with the Lord. But you notice he doesn't tell them they must be born again. He told Nicodemus they must be born again. Okay? And even when I talked to people, I said, have you had an encounter? Have you had a life-changing encounter with the Lord of Lords? Because here it says, I believe that at this point that we're coming to, right here, it says, now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, intimacy, that he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened. Whew. Wow. You know, I want you to go get the communion elements this morning, and we're going to have communion together. Because that's exactly what he does here. And if you'd like to get up, everybody stand up and get your communion elements. We wanted to have corporate communion together. And I want you to hold it. I want you to hold it until we can take it all together, just as they did in this. So, you know, we can have a victim mentality or we can have a victory mentality. Either or. You can have a victim mentality or you can have a victory mentality. And this is what changed. This is the great exchange right here. They had seen themselves in this story, these guys had seen themselves as victims. Just total victims, victims of circumstances, victims of life. Things didn't turn out the way. Many of you have that feeling this morning. I've been a victim. A victim of my circumstances, a victim of my decisions, you know, a victim of other people's decisions. You know, there's many victim mentality. It's my job. You know, I know what goes on at the bar. You know, if I went back to the bar, my stool would be there and the same guys would be there sharing stories of victims. Woe is me, it's my wife. Oh my goodness, that woman. My boss. Oh, that guy. Oh, geez. You know, I mean, it's I know the story. I know the story. This, thank you, Sandy, from victim to victory. 1 John 5:4 says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. When we have this life-giving encounter, it's right here in this room. It's right here in this room, this life-giving encounter I want you to experience. I want you to go out inspired, not indoctrinated. I want you to go inspired with an encounter with Jesus Christ. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. When you take communion together with us this morning, I want you to take it in faith that He died for all your disappointments. He died for all the times you were double-crossed and hurt and in other churches and other in work and in all the things that there's registering great disappointment in leadership. All those things, we can't carry that mantle of disappointment and victimhood and be walk in victory. And I intend to walk in victory. I intend to walk in victory. So think that of that circumstance in your life. Think of that disappointment. Think about how disappointed all these men were, whoever they were, men, child, woman, all of it. Everyone has, you know, an ability to be hurt and damaged. And it says, and then He took the bread. Ooh, take the bread. Just take the bread. Breaking of bread. We do it every day in our homes. And we're not aware of Jesus being there with us. He took the bread. He blessed it. And He broke it and gave it to them. Let's take that bread of life together this morning. Broken bread, like His broken body. Just discern it for a minute. Just discern it. It was done for you, like it was done yesterday, like it was done today. It says in Corinthians, in like manner, He took the cup. And He said, this is the blood. It was broken. It was shed for you. His blood, we sang about the blood this morning. The precious blood of Jesus. Let's take that cup together. Keep your eyes closed, because I love the next line. And they opened, and their eyes were opened, talking about their spiritual eyes, about their heart. And they knew Him. And He vanished from their sight. And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn? Let it burn. Let this moment burn. Let it burn. I believe this was their born again experience. Did their hearts were touched. Their hearts were affected and forever changed. Let it burn. You feel the burn? It's called the Holy Spirit. Let it burn away all the pain. Let it burn away all the regret and anger and frustration. Let it burn. Let it burn all the way the frustration. Let it burn. And put your trust back in the Lord. Put your trust back in the Lord. Hand it back to Him. Because what you're doing isn't changing much. And He can change everything. I trust Him for that. And how do I know they were changed? It says, so they rose up. And that very hour, returned to Jerusalem. They changed the direction of their life. That very hour, they started walking back to where there's something they never should have left. They walked right back to the group, to those who supported them. They walked back. They walked back. God empowered them to walk back and found the 11 and those who were gathered together. I'm telling you, if you're here this morning, you're walking in the right direction. I believe, I'm telling you, I can feel the joy of the Lord. You're walking in the right direction. I'm going to give you this benediction, 1 Corinthians 15. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory. We have the victory, Lord. We have the victory. We have the victory in whatever situation you're in, who gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you for this day, for the victory that we can walk out of this place with because of the cross, because of your blood. And we just bless your people with this strength in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.